Thanks for streaming The Score.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6.
Allen Robinson.
You guys as a group, as receivers, seem to enjoy putting pads on guys downfield, don't you?
Most definitely. You know, I think a big part of our offense, you know, is a block on the perimeter. You know, that's for short passes. That's for outside runs. That's for quarterback runs. You know, that's for everything, you know. So, I think another undervalued thing that goes unnoticed is, you know, just as an offense, you know, we love to see each other be successful. You know, it's a group of guys that we have fun playing together, you know, since day one. You know, we have a lot of different skill sets. We have a lot of talent, you know, and when you got that out there, you know, it's fun blocking for those guys. You know, it's fun playing with those guys. You know, you got guys like Tariq and Taylor and Anthony Miller and Trey. You know, I mean, we have fun getting each other open, you know, blocking for each other. You know, we have fun out there.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to the Lawrence Holmes Show, nights 6 to 10.
Now, we can bring in Anthony Heron. How you've seen the relationship with Whitehair and Mitch manifest itself in feeling like they have reached a good place of trust with each other.
I would highlight that Cody Whitehair is playing really well. As that relates to Mitch, his growth will continue as he's able to process information more quickly. They should be on the same page. And how you want that to work basically like a pitcher and a catcher, where you're in a rhythm where you're both seeing the same thing. At certain times, if you're not on the same page, you have a trust in each other that Mitch can think to Cody that since Cody's calling something different or IDing something different than I do when I'm looking at this, I trust my guy.
Lawrence Holmes, nights 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
Business Internet.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago sports station.
You can have a team that plays hard every night, no matter who you put out there. That's energy and passion right there, okay? I don't care who you're throwing out there. And you have to get your guys to buy in and be connected.
Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, and we are delighted to welcome in John Paxson. He is the Vice President of Basketball Operations with the Bulls, and obviously a guy who knows something about energy and passion. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning, John.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing well. Curious, as you sit here now with the first day of a new era beginning tonight, what is it that you look for, John? What is it that you're expecting to see tonight? How quickly will you see the difference?
Well, I don't know how quickly we'll see it, but, you know, just that clip you played before I came on. You know, I said to our players before the season started that there's only, you know, our game is fairly simple.
Hey, John,
in a lot
John
of ways.
I'm sorry. Yes. We're having a problem with the connection. Hold on 1 second. We're going to reconnect and try to get the line cleaned up for whatever reason we can't.
Yeah,
hear
just a little bit.
What are you saying?
A little bit heavy with the bass.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
I guess it is.
Did you turn up the bass? We'll reestablish with John in just a second. And again, the first game of the post Fred Hoiberg era, if we're calling it that, I don't know.
Against the Pacers.
It counts as an era. The game against the Pacers is tonight, so we'll get a chance to
and
see Jim Boylan.
Lauri Markkanen will make his first start of the season tonight.
Yeah.
Jim Boylan confirmed that. That's the most tangible change you're going to see. And Jabari Parker is expected to come off the bench, and we'll see how well he accepts that role, one with the way he started the season.
Okay, we're back with John. John, can you hear us?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Oh, no worries.
That's
I think
better.
It might have been our fault. So I asked you again, John, what – yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, you guys played the clip. And, you know, I said to guys before the season started, and I really say it every year, that, you know, the basketball is not – it's a simple game in a lot of ways, especially if you give effort and if you play with energy and passion. And the NBA game is difficult. You play a lot of games. You have a lot of practices, that type of thing. But when you're a young team – You have to have habits every day that are instilled in a group. And, you know, I mentioned this yesterday, and, you know, I a couple of years ago when we made the change in terms of trading Jimmy away, I knew we were going to be a young team. And usually my schedule early in the year is to go out and see college games because there's my stuff going on. But I made the commitment to be around the team more because I felt it was necessary to be a presence and for guys to see when you're struggling, that that you know, you're there to support them. And last year at this time, we were struggling. We had the injuries. We had the incident between Nico and Bobby. And it was a different vibe, a different mentality that I've felt over this last month in particular. So the expectations, first of all, is to compete, to be held accountable to competing. Coaches can do that, and you know, that's Jim's responsibility now. And the other thing is, in terms of playing the game, you know, I felt like we were a little bit too dribble dominant as a team. You know, the way the rules are now, off the ball, they've cleaned that up. If you're a team that cuts hard and moves without the ball, pays attention to passing and those little things, then you can be successful. At least you're playing the right way. And that's the other thing I bring up all the time is play the game the right way, unselfishly. You know, and that's, again, that's the coach's responsibility to get the guys to do that. So it's just a lot of things go into this, and it's difficult to do, to make change, especially in season, because Jim will have, you know, he doesn't have a training camp to instill a lot of things, but I think it goes back to the habits every day, the fundamental habits of the game that will make these guys successful.
John, you talk about something that was missing, and I wonder what role these, maybe the optics played in. You had Wendell Carter Jr. comes from a Duke program, which is all about leadership, talking about openly, publicly, about maybe the lack of leadership that he sensed from, whether it was from teammates or the coaching staff. And then you had the incident or the game where Zach LaVine at the end of the game was seeming to wave off Fred, like, no, and waving off Wendell. And those are optics that, from a fan standpoint, from a media standpoint, make an impact. Did they make an impact or affect your decision in firing Fred?
Yeah, well, they didn't factor into the decision necessarily. And optics, to be honest, I try to stay away from those type of things. I'm trying to, you know, drill down into the causes of things. And you know, I don't want to get too specific, but there were a lot of things like that, you know, from my seat, I was seeing and felt needed to be addressed. Again, when you're a young team, habits are everything, you know, and, you know, I believe you can demand certain things. I played for Phil Jackson, and, you know, Phil demanded of all of us, but he demanded of Michael maybe most of all. And Michael was a different, you know, he was a rare breed. He had the internal desire that a lot of guys maybe don't have, at least not to that level. But he still coached Michael Jordan hard and Scottie Pippen hard. And I just think that's a necessary thing in this business to be able, especially when you got young guys who, you know, we're bringing these guys into the league so early now. And even Wendell, 1 year at Duke, he had 1 year of Coach K. To think what he would have learned in 3 or 4 years under Coach K there, you know, so that these guys, they don't know everything. They don't know sometimes how to be a pro, how to work as hard as you need to work every single day. But again, it all goes back to that practice floor. And that is the most important place for any basketball team, but especially a young team, because that's where everything, the foundation of anything you do is set. And then what you try to do is get to carry over the game. So, I'm not expecting any, you know, I'm not expecting miracles. Obviously, we've got some of our better players coming back into the mix right now. I think Bobby and Chris Dunn will bring us some physicality and some intensity that we're missing. But it goes back to the overall vibe and energy. And I used the word spirit yesterday. You have to have a spirit as a basketball team. You have to have that. It bothers me when I don't see it, and it bothers me when people think that's not a necessary thing for a sport team. You have to be connected, and I truly believe that.
And maybe, John, you need that more than most teams because it's the formative years for a lot of these guys.
No question. Our young guys have a lot to learn. And, you know, for many of them, because they are so young and they grow up through the AAU system, and you just don't know how much – of the game they've truly learned. It's just a different time period. We grew up in an era where, you know, your high school coach was your most important, the most important person in your basketball development until you got to college. We went to teaching camps every summer where they've drilled fundamentals into you. Our young kids aren't necessarily growing up that way. They're much more talented than I think we ever were in terms of their abilities and, you know, how they, their physical gifts. But it still comes down to, I will always believe that any successful basketball team, any successful offense you run, it's all based on the little things, the fundamentals you use, where you catch the ball, the angles of screening that, that set a player up for a good shot. It's a lot of little things, and, it's gonna, you know, we want to, the rest of the year over these last 58 games, what we want to see is progress in terms of these guys' development, because everything we do, every decision we're making is based on the development of these young kids. And, again, it goes back to the things that I saw that Gar and I talk about every single day, led me to recommend to Jerry and Michael that this was the right time to do it.
John, in 2015, when you hired Fred, he was hailed as a great communicator, coming from Iowa State, and he's fired yesterday because he couldn't get through to players. In retrospect, was that too much to ask for Fred to make that adjustment? Is this an admission that was a mistake or a miscalculation?
Well, I take responsibility anytime things don't work out for the organization. So you can hang that on me. Gar and I did a lot of work with Fred. We knew him well, but we looked at the way he coached, the things he did, and we thought he would be a very good fit for our team. He dealt with a lot of tough things. I acknowledge that completely. Sometimes he handled them very well. You know, he handled them with a lot of class and dignity, but it's a complicated job. It's, you have to deal with so many things as a head coach. The relationship component with the players is vital. The ability to connect with guys, to get them to trust you and what you're doing with them, so that you can coach them hard. That's more important than the X's and O's part of the game. So, you know, I say this all the time. I think the most difficult thing in this position is to find a great head coach, one who, you know, feels connected to the organization himself. He's coaching because he believes in the organization. Jim Boylan talked about it a little bit yesterday. You guys know I've been around the organization for a long time. A lot of people think I've been here too long. I get it, but that Bulls on the uniform means something to me. And so the hardest thing is finding a coach who, you can work with every single day, trust that we're all going in the right direction. Sometimes that changes. And, in this case, I just kind of felt like it had changed somewhat.
What are the qualities that Jim Boylan brings to the job, John, that makes you confident he's the right guy?
Well, there's a lot of things. You know, we've watched him for 3+ years. We've asked Jim, in his position to do a lot of things that, maybe assistants don't always do. You know, an assistant shouldn't always be the one holding players accountable to things. And so we've asked some things of him, but I've watched him on you watch him on the practice floor every day. He is a demanding coach. He is a very good teacher of the game. And those are the two things we need right now. We need a guy that can teach and a guy that can demand on the floor. Because I just, again, it's sometimes it's just little intangible things you feel. I personally felt those little things were slipping away from our group, and we could not, we couldn't let that happen. Not at this stage. Not especially not with Lowry and Bobby and Chris coming back. I know that there's, people who say, well, why didn't you give Fred a chance to coach those guys? I was worried that the habits that we have shown the last month would carry over even when they came back. And that to me was a recipe for disaster. So I think we're in a position where as we evaluate the rest of this team, as we get healthy, I said at the beginning of the year, we need to see how these guys play together. And more importantly, we need to see how they play together when things are demanded of them every single day on the practice floor and in the games. And that's what Jim is tasked with right now.
It's an attractive young core of talent, John. And I think that when you fire a coach and there's an opening, I found it, I think people were surprised that Jim was appointed the permanent coach and not the interim coach. And I wonder what went into that decision, because if you had opened it up, maybe there are some other candidates out there that would have been somewhat more experienced, more qualified. I mean, what went into that decision? And And from the outside looking in, maybe was it a matter of convenience because he's under contract through next season anyway? You have to pay Fred through next season. How would how did that factor into any thinking?
It wasn't convenience. It's difficult to make a move in season. And I've been a part of two of these situations early in my tenure. I let Bill Cartwright go early on. But there were things that I saw through that first summer and into training camp. And I had given some thought to some other people. And that's when I'd landed on Scott Skiles and we brought him in midseason. Several years later, when we let Scott go, we did an interim type tag. We want to give Jim every opportunity to earn this job long term, and that's the goal. He's earned it. There are a lot of people that he sat as an assistant for a long time. We feel in watching him work, he's earned that right and that opportunity with us to show us that he can be the Bulls head coach. And again, we haven't made a long-term, totally long-term commitment to him, and we talked about it. He knows that, and he wants to prove his worth. But he's not focused on that. As we talked, he's focused on the team and how we want to play and how he wants to work with the players individually and as a team. And that's why we feel it's right to give him that opportunity.
John, anyone who watches your team understands that there's been some difficulties with defense, and that is, I don't know how you handle that, and he's a defensive-minded guy. Do you want to see people taken out of the game if they aren't giving the same sort of effort on defense that you expect of them? How do you expect this to go in terms of installing the defensive mentality into a team?
Well, first of all, I mentioned this yesterday. Basketball is a transition game. You play offense, you play defense, the game flows, and it's always connected. Your defense in large part there's an offensive component to it. If you're a team that takes good shots, shoots a high percentage, has offensive rebounding position, those things help your transition defense and your half court defense. If you watched us play, we've been a perimeter dominant team.
Yeah.
And we take a lot of long shots. A lot of teams do in this league now. We know that 3-point shot's a big thing. It's going to stay here, and it should. It's a valuable weapon, especially if you can get to the middle of the floor and people collapse and you have shooters in the corners and on the wings. But you still have to, I played for Tex Winter, and Tex had his 7 principles of sound offense. And the first principle was that sound offense provides penetration. And that's not just through the dribble, but it's through the pass. I personally feel we haven't gotten enough penetration of the basketball to get to the rim. And you guys know, or you watch the game, if you're taking a lot of quick shots where there's no offensive rebounding position, maybe where guys aren't in a position to get back defensively, if shots are coming when your teammates don't know they are, then it's difficult to get back, get matched, and have a sound defense. That's the first component of it. But you go on from there, and again, it goes back to habits. Every single day, is that an important part of your practice plan and the situations that you're in? Are you going to pay attention to that? And you're right, holding players accountable to it. You can live with mistakes if the effort is there. You can't live with mistakes when it's just out of laziness or not competing, taking a player or two off here and there. Those are the ones that are difficult for any coach. So I expect, we all expect Jim to hold our guys to that standard. That doesn't mean it's going to be perfect. And you ask how long it's going to take. We have no idea. I just know, I'm convinced that this team needed a new person at the top who can demand every single day, grind it out, and try to get these young guys playing the game the right way.
John, you alluded to it sort of in a kidding manner, but there's some people out there think you maybe have been there too long, but you know that those people exist, and you and Gar, for whatever reason, remain very polarizing at the top and making these decisions, and you made a big one yesterday. So I guess for those people, for those critics, is it fair to wonder, why should they believe you now? What is different about this move, and are you sensitive to the idea that this criticism continues to be there?
I'm not sensitive at all. I've learned Jerry Reinsdorf told me a long time ago, you know, he said after I'd played and had some success with the Bulls and did the broadcast, he said, once you take this job, people aren't going to like you. And, you know, that's okay. I'm confident in myself. I'm confident that the decisions I make are in the